This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, try to get the linguistic swing to go the full 360 degrees. Coming up in today's show, happy face, heart heart, alien smiling poo. To warm up, here's some word history. Listener Warren requested the history of the word tawdry, meaning cheap and tacky. It originally meant a silk necktie for women, then known as tawdry lace, a contraction of St. Audrey's lace, which was a somewhat low-quality neck ribbon sold in Ely, Cambridgeshire, at their annual fair for their patron St. Audrey, who was also the patron saint of throat complaints, because she died of a throat tumour, which she considered divine punishment for her preference for wearing jewelled necklaces and other neck ornaments. Good etymological fun, thanks, Warren! Without further ado, on with the show.
There's a specific order. The face will always come first.
So that'd be like the nominative noun coming first in the
sentence? That's kind of setting the state, saying this is, I'm a person, I'm going to be doing the following actions. And then the objects come after that. Some things the order is dictated by, like the gun, whatever's being shot by the gun has to come to the left of it, I think.
Okay, so to be in the line of fire of facing guns.
Yeah, otherwise you look like you've not been paying attention.
They say your ability to learn new languages diminishes with age, and by 15 you're pretty much past it, which may be why, at 35, I am struggling to get to grips with emoji. Also because I've spent much of those 35 years trying to harness the power of the English language for communication, but maybe I've backed the wrong horse. Emoji, a Japanese word from e meaning picture and moji, letter, seem like a very modern phenomenon dependent on the proliferation of mobile phones, but they have precedent in language far more ancient than our own. A picture per concept is pretty much what the ancient Sumerians were using to communicate some 5,500 years ago when they came up with the cuneiform writing system. Back on the show is Dr. Kate Wiles from History Today.
The way cuneiform, for example, evolved was a very simple language just for trade purposes, that you're shipping 3 cows, 2 goats and a bale of hay. You need to have some way of ensuring that 3 cows, 2 goats and a bale of hay arrives at the other end, and so you'd write it into clay. You'd just draw 3 cows, 2 goats and a bale of hay. Over time, people wanted to send more elaborate messages and do it more easily, and so a shorthand that was more versatile evolved, and eventually that became cuneiform, and that's used to write all sorts of languages across a 3,000-year period. So it was about as successful and versatile as the Roman alphabet, really, to think of it comparably. But basically, emojis in many ways are functioning like the early stages of cuneiform. A symbol or a word is representing the idea of a thing rather than the sounds of a thing. And so emojis are kind of acting in something like a tweet as the idea. And so instead of writing, I am looking forward to some sunshine this summer because my God, it's been grey and horrible, you write, I am looking forward to some sunshine emoji. Or I am hungry, I would like some pizza emoji.
Who decides that you're able to use sunshine or pizza emoji? The Unicode Consortium. Since 1987, they've been trying to write definitive code for every single character in every language. And so far, they've managed to do so for around 110,000. Emoji made their way in because they were being used on Japanese mobile phones in the 1990s, and given the Unicode Consortium was already mapping Japanese characters, it made sense to do the emoji as well. At the time of recording, there are only 722 emoji in the official core set, although that rises to 1,393 when you factor in the recently added skin colour variations and different countries' flags. It seems rather limiting to me that you can only channel your self-expression through the emoji available, and furthermore, surely it could take you longer to find the right emoji than compose a sentence.
But that's the point of it, is it's not a shorthand. It's not like text speak, even though it saves on characters. It's in no way is it a shorthand. It's harder to use, to write, because, you know, if you're not familiar with it, you need to find the things, you need to pick exactly the right face to express your emotion. But if you want to express that you're particularly happy about something or you're sad, the words don't necessarily get that across. You could use an exclamation mark, or you could use an emoji, which is an even more emotive form. Oh, we've only got 3 emotive punctuation marks. We've got the exclamation mark, the question mark, and the interrobang.
I'd say the interrobang, a hybrid of exclamation and question marks, hasn't made it into the punctuation mainstream. So being generous, we've got 2.5 emotional punctuation marks, and therefore yes, there is room for more emotive embellishment, but often emoji are just reiterating what has already been said in the text, which according to Dr. Kate Wiles also has historical precedent.
There's a lot of overlap between emoji and manuscript marginalia. if you think of the kind of 14th, 15th century really weird and wonderful, beautifully painted things that come in the margins, they serve all kinds of different purposes, but a lot of them are illustrating the text, but they're not like a comic strip or a book illustration. They're just a little image that goes with it, a kind of shorthand for what's in the text. So in the Luttrell Psalter, which was a 14th, 15th century psalm book, every time nocte, night, is written, there'll be a little black bat in the margin. Floreat, which means to flourish, will have a blooming rose and things like that. And it's kind of a word association thing that the picture will go with it. But also medieval imagery is pretty rich in symbolism. And so a seemingly innocuous picture will actually have lots of hidden meaning in it, in the same way that an emoji is conveying senses. It's like a little shorthand for an idea. Humans would be seen in all kinds of socially unacceptable situations and doing terrible deeds to each other, and it's kind of subverting the human condition. There's a lot of satire going on.
What kind of terrible deeds?
Pooing in cups. Doing things to each other's bottoms, picking penises from trees.
You say that just like it's completely routine. We've all picked a penis from a tree in the margin of a book.
It's the big romance, courtly romance from 15th century France is called Le Roman de la Rose, and the Romance of the Rose. And in one manuscript that was illuminated by a woman, she's just drawn a little nun in the corner of the page with a tree with lots of fruit on it, and it's just wanging great penises that she's picking and putting in a basket.
A nun?
Yeah.
What's she going to do with all of those?
Well, this is a subversive commentary on text, because the text is all women are there to be seduced, they are physical objects, you know, they're just body parts. And so she's saying, you like body parts? I am going to pick these and put them in a pie.
So it was the scribe showing a bit of their opinion.
Yeah.
Come on, Unicode Consortium, where's the penis tree emoji?
It's not replacing language. It could never be argued to be replacing language. It is definitely an accompaniment to it.
But two people did try to see if emoji could replace language completely.
Hello, I'm Matt.
I'm Tom.
And together we've made Emojily. It is the emoji-only messenger. We made it as a joke. It is a joke that has now dragged on to nearly a year.
It's a joke that rapidly accumulated tens of thousands of users, but not the ones you might expect.
Do you use it?
No.
They just wanted to make it because they thought it could be made.
We separately had the idea, didn't we?
Yeah, we both had the same idea at the same time.
Because it was just after Yo had happened, which was the social network where you could only send one message.
And the message was Yo.
And at the same time, the Unicode Consortium just sort of announced we've got a load of new emojis coming in, and I think the same idea had sparked in both our heads.
No one had done it yet.
It was genuinely a how hard can it be moment. Yeah.
And how hard was it?
A lot harder than we thought it would be.
Aside from the challenges of building and running the app, even simple communications turned out to be a bit of a struggle.
I tried constructing sentences with it for a bit. It's like, meet me somewhere at some time. So you can do meet me at time, because there's an hour emoji for every hour. Places are impossible to say.
Also, anything that's not a noun, presumably, is challenging.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Matt just wasn't ambitious enough in his emoji compositions.
Have you heard about someone's translated Moby Dick into emojis?
Oh, no.
Guess what it's called? Emoji Dick.
Emoji Dick.
Emoji Dick.
I might just cry myself to death right now.
And at Christmas I saw the nativity in emojis. Man emoji, lady emoji, star emoji, donkey emoji, church emoji.
It's like a very simple
baby
comic
emoji.
Strip.
sheep emoji, donkey emoji.
Doesn't
cow
leave
emoji.
That much room for nuance though, does it?
No, it's not. It's very dependent on time, sequential time, that if you put it out of sequence immediately all sense is lost.
So syntax in emoji is of vital importance.
Yes, but you can't have complex syntax, really. You
no
certainly
clauses.
Couldn't have no embedded clauses.
Maybe there'll be a system like algebra where you see some things bracketed because they're a subclause.
Yeah, I think that's something to work on, certainly.
But there's a bigger problem with emoji than syntax and grammar. Reluctant as I am to use emoji, I thought they might represent a very important linguistic development, able to transcend language barriers to be some kind of universal communication system, since little pictures of faces and cats and stuff look the same regardless of which verbal languages you understand. Except they don't. In the case of emoji, language barriers aren't only formed by geography or race, but by device. If the sender doesn't have the same operating system as the recipient, some of the characters might not translate and just appear as boxes. Or even when the written description of the character is the same, the visual interpretation can be rather different.
Dancer's the one that stands out the most is because it is just Dancer. So if you're on an Apple phone, it'll be a female flamenco dancer in a red dress. Though if you look on the latest version of Android, I think it's on the latest one, it is someone doing a Night Fever kind of dance, a guy.
In full John Travolta getup. And there's actual semantic meaning there that's being changed. Because someone can say, oh, I feel like this today, Dancer, which is sort of freedom, confidence, that kind of, I'm feeling beautiful, I'm feeling like I could take on the world, send it, and it appears at the other end as John Travolta in Night Fever, which is not quite the same.
Some of the problems of interpretation are even graver than the difference in implications of flamenco versus Travolta.
There's a note in the consortium thing saying, we recommend that things like guns, because there's a gun emoji, point left to right. Which is valid, because if iPhone decides to point left to right, and Android decides to point right to left, you have a very, very different meaning from, anything that goes in that sense. And it's not just guns, anything in there. But that's not necessarily the case if you're dealing with languages that go right to left, like Arabic. Should you flip it in that case? Should you not? No, no one knows.
A really interesting thing about emojis is that they are developing dialects. They're socialects, more strictly speaking, I think, which is a dialect but within social groups, age groups, something like that, rather than about a geographic area. One of the kind of the earliest ones is, depending on how you draw the smiley face emoticon, do you do it with a nose or not? Because that's an age thing. It's not universal, but generally older people put the nose in, younger people don't. I think because it started off as very obviously representing a face, and so you had two eyes, a nose and a mouth, people became familiar with that, and you want to create a shorthand for it, so the colon bracket is still a smiley face, but it's dependent on understanding that it is a face. Seen out of context, you'd have to, you know, there's not as many clues to understand that. So I think it's just a natural progression of developing shorthands for things that are understood, so you don't need to use as much information to get the same concept across.
You've changed the language you use based on who you're talking to, and each group will come up with their own rules for it. And that's true for this. If your friends start using it, it'll become pretty obvious the grammar they've set up for themselves, but it'll be completely different to what someone else.
And if you're using it regularly, you'll come up with your own shorthand.
Yeah.
So you could use a little black box for an entire sentence fragment, because between you in person, you have decided that is easier. You could have like a left arrow and then a pig to mean West Ham or something. And for the person you're messaging to even make the leap to guess that that could mean West Ham, you have to have so much in common. There's so much that you have to insinuate from it. You need to share a common culture or
common expectations.
Yeah, common expectations with each other to have any idea of starting to work out what they're trying to say and how. Because it's just a list of nouns. So even your pronunciation of a word could affect.
One of the most interesting things that I saw was in a tweet by Kirsten Dunst, where after Jennifer Lawrence's pictures got leaked from iCloud, she wrote a tweet saying something like, iCloud, pizza emoji, steaming pile of poo emoji, which meant piece of shit.
Even in a visual language, there is no escaping the puns. Dr. Kate Wiles is contributing editor of History Today and features in the History Today podcast. Tom Scott and Matt Gray are the founders of Emojly, but they've just announced that the joke has gone on long enough. Emojly will be shut down on the 30th of July. So if you're eager to try emoji-only communication, you better hurry. Or you could just wait until the next thing. It can't be too long before we're getting news bulletins comprised of angry face, gun, sad face, police officer, ambulance, thumbs down, angel, crying face. Yeah, you know it's going to happen. Happy face, applause, applause to the Soho Theatre for letting me record there. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is kloof. Noun, South African. A wooded ravine or valley. Try using it in an email today. You can communicate with me verbally via Twitter and Facebook /allusionistshow. And if you visit the allusionist.org/emoji, you can see the aforementioned Animoto video, which features lots of the medieval marginalia that Kate Wiles was talking about. Extraordinary! I'll be back in a fortnight. Happy face, wavy hand, wavy hand.